Professor Perry is a senior associate at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. His primary research interest is in the impact of community-based primary health care programs on health improvement, especially on the health of mothers and children. He has a broad interest in primary health care and community-oriented public health, community participation and equity and empowerment. He has been engaged in lots of research, and he's very well known. So long that he's also the recipient of the Gordon Wyon Award, and he's received so many awards. So we're so happy to have you. So please join us. Thank you. It's not good to read from your phone.
Okay, thank you, Alvara. Good afternoon, everybody. We're all kind of running out of steam a little bit, I think, so let's do some calisthenics or something. So, but I was, I did not offer to make this presentation, let me put it this way. I was asked to do this, and this is a rather challenging topic, but it was something that I have an interest in. I've got a long connection to faith-based organizations. My original inspiration was to be a medical missionary, and so I've got a feel for this kind of thing. And our modern secular world, I think we tend to forget that medical mission work was really a major part of what global health really was up until maybe 40 years ago, and there's a tremendous and rich heritage here of all kinds of things that have happened over the years that provide the foundation for what we call today global health. Maybe not all of you know that the Christian Health Commission, which was in Geneva, played a foundational role in urging and encouraging the World Health Organization to adopt the whole concept of primary health care and the International Conference on Primary Health Care and the Declaration of Alma-Ata. The Christian Health Commission played a similar role in that, and some of my heroes in global health come up through the faith tradition. Raj and Maybel Arole were Christian Indian doctors who were really pioneering prior to and very inspirational for the Health for All movement and Declaration of Alma-Ata. Abhay and Ronnie Bang, some of you may know of them, but they're Hindu, but very strongly faith-oriented people who have developed pioneering work in particularly community case management of pneumonia and home-based neonatal care. Probably a lot of you don't know who Frank Beer is, but he's a Mennonite who's had an incredible career working through faith-based approaches, particularly in the Democratic Republic of Congo, but really a leading figure working in the faith-based world. And probably not many of you know one of my global health heroes, Peter Ernst, who is a South African physician working in Mozambique, who has developed a care group process, which has become very famous, but a very, very faith-oriented person. So when I thought about what I was going to say, I had to say to myself, you know, what is a faith-based organization? And there's a broad range of faith-based organizations. There's no one strict definition, I don't think. But as I thought about this, I thought that really there were two types. One are the organizations that are legally embedded in or directly related to religious organizations, and I've given a few examples here. And then there are other kinds of organizations that are not directly, formally, legally connected to a church or a formal religious organization, but operate within the realm of that network in an informal kind of a way, and often recruit donors and seek support for people who are in the faith-based world. And I guess examples that most of us know about that fit this are World Vision and Samaritan's Purse. When we're thinking about how effective FBOs are, then the next question I said, well, what are we comparing FBOs to? And there are various ways of thinking about that. Of course, there's no one single way, but we can compare them to other NGOs. A lot of these groups operate as NGOs, so compare them to other NGOs. Compare them to firms, both for-profit and not-for-profit firms that seek large government contracts, and then Ministry of Health programs. What do we mean by aid effectiveness? From my standpoint, thinking through this, I was thinking about external aid mostly, primarily, not necessarily just government money, but from a variety of sources. But to do what and through what kinds of approaches, so there are various ways of thinking about that. And what do we mean by effectiveness? So I'm kind of an impact-oriented sort of a person. What is the impact on health of what we do? There are other ways of thinking about it. But anyway, I thought of these as some of the ways that we could think about aid effectiveness. And, of course, Elvira presented a little bit different kind of framework for thinking about aid effectiveness. So once I got through that, I asked myself, what do we know about the effectiveness of FBOs compared to non-FBOs in using aid for health? There's not a lot written about that. My friend Ray Martin, who has been the executive director of the Christian Connections for International Health for many years, just resigned from that. But he told me that there have been studies of the quality of care provided by FBOs compared to non-FBOs, and the results are inconclusive. I mean, there's no general statement you can make about it. But that's comparing government services with FBOs, but the facility level. I did a literature research on this, nothing really intense or completely thorough, but I did look around a little bit to see what I could find. I did find one article published in 2012 that compared faith-based services with other NGO services in three African countries related to the provision of obstetrical care. And their conclusion was that the results or the quality of services are comparable. One group is not better than the other group, but they are an important provider of services in these three countries where this study was carried out. And they were trying to make the case that we need to recognize the fact that these FBO programs are there, they're important, they're doing legitimate work, but they're not trying to say that they're doing a better job than the other institutions and services. I thought that it might be helpful to specify the question a little bit further. And so I ended up thinking about the question, why might FBOs be better and more effective? So that's not a definitive statement of the evidence, but it's just sort of going through some speculation. And then I asked myself, what are some promising examples of FBO programming and donor collaboration? So not being able to answer the question whether or not FBOs are more effective, I'm sort of moving to a kind of an alternative way of addressing this question. So here are some reasons that are, I would say, relatively commonly expressed about FBOs, and whether or not they're truly accurate or not, that's a debate we could have, of course, and there's a wide spectrum of FBOs, so some of these statements may apply to some FBOs and not to others, so I don't want to make it sound like I'm saying that this is the truth. But you can see up here three of the reasons that have been cited about why FBOs might be effective in delivering aid, and I'm not going to read those for you. You can read them better than I can. And here's another reason. There are many examples where there's been a long-term presence of faith-based organizations out there, particularly in Africa, providing services. And we all know, I would imagine, the examples of these kinds of things. This is one that I happened to come across in rural Zambia. It's been there since the early 40s, but still a very vibrant and active program. Here are some more reasons. I can think of examples where I think that these statements are true, but I know of many other examples of non-FBOs for which they're also true. So I don't think it's fair to say that this is really the case, but there are things to think about. So, I mean, this idea of trust has become a big thing, particularly with Ebola, and the trust that people can have in health systems and the kinds of trust that might exist in faith-related organizations that may not be there in government-related organizations. There was an article that was just published about a month ago. There's a new journal called the Christian Journal of Global Health. It's online. And this article by Clydette Powell was just published, which describes what USAID has been doing in terms of relating and supporting faith-based organizations. So I think she pulls a lot of these ideas together, and maybe I'll just go ahead and read this because there's more than you can just read real quickly. Faith leaders and faith organizations are closely linked with the communities they serve, culturally, spiritually, and physically. They often represent and are composed of trusted individuals whose lives, beliefs, and cultural values are aligned with their beneficiaries. They know intimately the networks, both formal and informal, as well as the opinion leaders, the history, the behaviors, and the practices that have strengthened or weakened the communities they seek to lead. They are often rich in experience and knowledge, but may be lacking in sufficient resources to do their work. They are mobile and adept, but may not be able to wield the necessary influence for change at the upper echelons of a ministry of health, which can be far removed from the details of community life and common people's struggles. Therefore, the partnership of a large donor with FBOs as implementers can be a significant advantage to the goals and objectives of both. This is something I came across in looking around that talked about linking into faith-based networks for the whole issue of Ebola promotion or the prevention of Ebola promotion and various ways of dealing with it. So you might be interested in exploring that if you're interested in these issues. One of the things I found out was that one study tried to assess the role of FBOs in healthcare provision based on an extensive review of the literature. And this study came up with the conclusion that the actual importance of FBOs may not be quite as important as it has been claimed to be in the past. So there are studies that say that in some African countries, 70% of services are provided by faith-based organizations. And that may be true in a few, but it's certainly not as prominent as in these cases from mostly African countries. The range of services provided by FBOs, depending on what's hospitals, health facilities, and so forth, ranges. It's substantial, but it's not 70%. Here's a review that showed that the FBOs providing maternal and newborn health tended to be similar to those offered by government providers, but it doesn't definitely show that the quality is better, but it does show some evidence that they provide good quality. Now, I was thinking of some reasons why FBOs may not be more effective providers of aid and channeling for health purposes, and you can see some of those up here too. And again, I'm not saying that this is the case. There are probably some examples where these are actually the case, but I think generally, for example, the whole idea of putting religious goals over health goals, I think it's very unusual for a faith-based organization to do that, but there may certainly be examples where that has been the case. So I wanted to just mention some examples of ways in which FBOs have channeled support. And this is from a study published in The Lancet in 2009 that showed the biggest NGOs in terms of quantity of money that's been transferred for health. And the one at the top was one I'd never heard of. I've been working in this field a long time, but the one at the top is called Food for the Poor. I don't know why that's not showing up there, but... Has anybody ever heard of that? So Well, I looked them up on the internet. I mean, they work mostly in central and the northern part of South America, but they channel food and have a big operation. But we see up here World Vision, Feed the Children, which is a Christian organization, Catholic Medical Mission Board, Catholic Relief Services, Interchurch Medical Assistance. So a lot of the big players are faith-based organizations. I mentioned Frank Baer in the beginning. He has been involved in developing an organization called Sanru, which is receiving very large amounts of money for a long time now from USAID, the World Bank, DFID, for the managing of health zones in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Interchurch Medical Assistance has been related to Sanru, has been very effective in receiving large grants from major donors. These are the reasons that Frank Baer wrote in 1998 why he thinks FBOs have been effective in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And again, since I'm running out of time, I'm not going to run through these, but you can glance through them. USAID has a long history of funding FBOs, and it's within the legal framework of U.S. government funding to provide support for FBOs as long as that money is used in the way that Congress directs it. And there is really a growing interest, I would say, in USAID for this kind of support for health, particularly. And I think we'll be seeing more of this. I'm a United Methodist, and I know a little bit about the United Methodist Church's connection with the United Nations Foundation, which has led to an $80 million program of funds raised through the Methodist Church to support the global malaria campaign. And that's got potential for growing and expanding in a lot of different ways. So those are just a few examples of how faith-based organizations have been effective both at recruiting money for aid and also in distributing it down to the grassroots level. My conclusions are that faith-based organizations are important players in the global health field. Their reach is extensive as donors, opinion leaders, and service providers. They're a promising channel for effectively delivering development aid for health improvement in Africa. International donors should reach out to FBOs to leverage and expand their unique resources. And this will require vision, initiative, and flexibility from both donors and FBOs. And we need more independent research on the effectiveness of different ways of channeling aid, and FBOs is one that should be in our radar screen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.